Welcome back to Tad Out of Focus. I am me. How are you doing? I'm doing pretty good. I'm working on a little digital drawing. Nothing. I was moving the mic there. Nothing too original. But, you know, the art of imitation is all around us. How was your weekend? Tell me. I'm listening. Interessante. Well, I just watched the first FIFA game, Russia against Saudi Arabia. And I'm going to be truthful. If it ain't my guys, Mexico, España, Japón, then, you know, I'm doing other shit. But I'm still watching the game. I root for Germany sometimes. Because me half German. Though my sister and my brother would be like, shut the fuck up. Oh man. But yeah, I'm half German. There was a great 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 German grandfather that came to Mexico around, I want to say, the 1880s, the 1890s, and he fought alongside Pancho Villa. Hold on, I gotta make sure this is accurate. Okay. Pancho. There we go. Okay. Yeah, so Pancho Villa was born in June 5th, 1878 and was assassinated in 1923. So, like, around in the middle, my German grandfather fought alongside of that guy. And then, he ends up having a son. And this is the most fucked up part. During that time in Mexico, if you touch a woman that, let's just say, that you just met, haven't dated, or whatever, you're marrying her. This is the story that my family told me. That German son, I guess, was talking to this chick or something was going on. There was a feud. There was a quarrel against two parties. I have no idea. He might be caught in the middle, probably not. And then somebody shoved this chick onto my great 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 grandfather's son, and basically they were forced to wed because he touched her. That's some scary ass shit. Imagine if that still to this day. Probably some countries, I don't know, but if that sort of custom was still around to this day, everybody be getting married. And then there would be double the people on this fucking planet, man. Fuck. But yeah, was just watching the FIFA Russia and Saudi Arabia. Russia, I want to say 3-0. I don't know what the next game is, but I'm like conflicted right now because Mexico and Germany are going against each other Sunday morning, which is ridiculous. Because I know that Mexico is going to fucking lose. And then not only Mexico, you have fucking Sweden. Now, I the only game that they're probably have a chance with is South Korea. No offense to South Korean soccer fans, but I'm saying like I'm thinking Mexico is gonna get the nod, and not the nod, but is gonna score some points in order to move on. But Mexico, woo-wee, need some work, man. I have a feeling that they're gonna get knocked out early in this FIFA World Cup, which sucks. Which sucks. Like the commercials say, and I've seen all the FIFA World Cup games from like 2008, which is not very many, but it's whatever. And I heard and I looked at the history and Mexico, during that fifth game, they're the team that is n with that they're the team that is nearly there. The almost team. They fight someone who's at the top, and they fall short. They fall fucking short. Everyone's still pissed about Mexico and Argentina. The wounds are still there, man. The wounds are still there. My opinion on that game, some dirty shit. Some dirty ass shit. I mean, it could have been. I have to relook. I have to relook. I'm gonna have to check right now. Mexico versus Argentina. I think this happened in 2006 or 2010. Yeah. So Mexico scored one and then Argentina scored one. And that last one, that last score, some guy went into the goal box and no one was there. The goalie wasn't there, I think. All the other Mexican players weren't there, and this guy got a free shot, headbutted in the goal, and then scored for Argentina. But it's a kind of controversial goal because from what I know from soccer or football, just by looking at the game, I ain't no fucking whiz at soccer rules or whatever, but you're supposed to be behind the other team as you're going to score. Otherwise, if you're ahead, no one's there, that's a no point. You're offsides. It's fucked up. And then like years down the road, they kind of said, FIFA's corrupt and fine this person a bunch of money and blah 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 and fix your ways and I don't know. But if there's one thing I like about this kind of sporting event, is that everyone that is going through like political tensions and stuff eases down because something like this on a grand world scale is happening and people are there to watch to root for their favorite teams and stuff. Yes, there are bullshit events that are happening right now as I speak on this fucking planet. Terrible things. Poverty, pollution, and other things. But all that goes away when something like this happens. Political tensions, of course, but that settles down. And that gives people like, time to think, rethink certain policies and blah 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 as they're watching their favorite game. I celebrate that. But, you got to keep the other things in mind. Which I know they do. And when I mean they, I mean people in general, politicians, aliens, people from other parallel universes. I'm getting weird here. I apologize. I re-record. This is a new recording. I did do episode 6 yesterday, but as I was recording, I hear these little sounds while I was talking, and which pisses me off. Probably because maybe I was too close to the mic. My voice was a little bit loud. It's so weird. And I had this problem before when I was recording music many moons ago. I think it's because maybe something happened with the inside of the microphone, or the program is kind of getting a little fugly. Which I'm using Premiere Pro to record these podcast episodes, so it's whatever. Besides, you know, football, Last weekend, I watched the USC fight with Yoel Romero and Whitaker, which was, it was intense. I mean, the CM Punk, give the guy credit, but shouldn't be fighting. Jackson fucked himself because I guess he was a bit showboating. Could have, you know, got rid of CM Punk in the first round. But honestly, I was like, okay, all right. You see, CM Punk, okay, landing some shots. He's got heart. Okay. And then as the rounds went by, I'm like, okay, let this be over. And then you got all the other fights. The Holly Holm one. I mean, Holly Holm, if she beats Amanda Nunes, which I've heard that is going to be the next fight, we're talking the greatest woman fighter to have ever set foot in the octagon. Second to Ronda Rousey. Maybe plateau that. I don't know. And then after that, and then if she beats Cyborg, she is undeniable. Undeniable. The Preacher's Daughter is undeniable. Woo! And then you have Whitaker Romero. Went all 5 rounds. Whitaker had the upper hand in 1, 2, and maybe the 4th round. But Romero, you know, during that fucking weight cut, and there's been reports that, like, the commission, the Illinois commission, when he didn't make weight, he was given 2 hours, but they cut it short to 1 hour, which if they didn't do that, and this is, you know, by all means, I love all the fucking fighters. And I can see how tough the weigh-ins are by looking at video feed, and you know, it sucks, but you have to, you know, make weight and all that, and it's a frustrating thing, you know. If he made weight, would Romero won? IDK, man. IDK. But Romero was conserving his energy, and if you watch all of his fights, he fights in spurts, you know? He conserves his energy because he, you know, he's fucking, he has a body of a fucking anime character. He's fucking 40 or 41. And he is athletic like a fucking 30-year-old in his prime. Dude, genetics is a bitch sometimes. Genetics is a bitch. And it's not steroids. Nah. I think there was a discussion when Yoel, Joe Rogan, and Joey Diaz, the comedian, were talking and saying that nobody can afford steroids back in Cuba. Going back to the fight, Yoel almost put Whitaker away, especially in the fifth round. Woo! There were some bombs flowing. But Whitaker was composed, leg kicked the shit out of him, landing some combos and strikes, but Whitaker was also doing stuff also. It was a tough fight. It was a tough fight. What I want to see, and ultimately Whitaker gets the nod. But do I want to see a Whitaker Yoel 3? No. This year? Nah. It would make sense if Yoel Whitaker 3 would have happened if Yoel would have won. Because they'd be 1-1. I think that fight's gonna happen, but probably next year. And then, I want to say February or March. Around that timeline, but fuck, I could be wrong. I ain't no UFC, MMA analyst or whatever. I'm just a fucking fan, bro. I'm just a fan with an outside perspective who paints. I think you'd see Whitaker versus either Weidman or Gastelum as the commentators are saying, or a third guy, Yoel. Now, why do I say Yoel if I'm saying I don't want to see that until next year? I'm saying that because what if Gastelum and Weidman had an awesome fight, which at the end, they broke some bones, they went at it with each other. Head traumas galore, which sucks. And it prolongs them from competing. Either guy, if either guy won. And it takes long for them to heal up. Well, who's the next guy? Yoel. But it depends, though. The UFC might have Yoel fight another person, and then he gets Whittaker. If either Gastelum and Weidman both extremely injured and have to take a rest, can't make the championship fight against Whittaker. And as you can see, I love MMA. There's always stuff. There's always stuff going on there. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. So apart from, watching UFC, hung out with some friends, had some sushi. I had this fucking food called the Ocean Beach Roll at this restaurant. In Oceanside or Carlsbad? I forgot the name of the fucking restaurant. It starts with a fucking K. Caillou? Kiru? No. Fuck. But it was delicious. It was fucking delicious. It was hot, but it was delicious. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And then after that, we played some fucking. We know we went over to a place that neither of my friends live in, but one of them had to look over, had to look after a dog. So he was going to stay there for a couple of weeks because the owners of the house and I guess their sons or daughters went with them to fucking Hawaii, probably to see the volcano lava flow. And we had a grand old time. We had a grand old time. Love the dog. Old dog, but fucking awesome. Don't know what kind of dog it is because I'm not good with dogs. Or, I love dogs, but I'm not good with knowing the breed of dogs. Same thing with, like, fucking cars. If you tell me, oh, what kind of car is that, I won't fucking know. The only car I know is my truck, a Nissan Pro X 400 off-road. Have I taken it off-roading? No. Why? Because I guess it's like, you know, the nearest dune from here is like maybe 3 hours away, 4 hours away, which you have to get up super fucking early and then just drive that truck. But wouldn't you even let that truck on those dunes? Imagine if I go towards like this large fucking slope with my fucking truck. Thing's gonna tumble over. Get it all on camera. Have myself like fucking like hanging on to dear life as the truck starts spinning down and then somehow I survive and be like, woo! I ain't crazy. I'm not that loco. So yeah, I recorded this thing yesterday. Got frustrated because it had the noise. So pissing me off. And I was recording it in a different location, and it just didn't felt right. So better do it at a place where you're most comfortable. Wish I had a sofa instead of a desk chair, but it is what it is, man. It is what it is. Now, last episode was detailing the first exhibition in Monrovia that I had back in November of 2011. And I told you that I was going to explain the sort of debut magazine for Untucked. And I was one of the artists featured there at the party at V. Roman's bookstore in Pasadena. I'm like, okay, should I say it or should I not? Because, well, I guess I should fucking tell the story. Why not? Let's start. And then we'll end off the episode, this episode, with the fucking story. But, I don't know. I always say, I don't know. I gotta stop saying, I don't know. So, this lovely story right here. Let's see. So the Monrovia Coffee Shop exhibition started in November 2011. I did nothing in 2012. I only did one show in 2013, which is the story of the creative. See exhibition space by the Angel Orsans Foundation at Long Beach and Long Island, Queens, New York. How I got that was because of CME.com, and you know, I had you know, money in my wallet, so I said, hey, why not? And basically their whole showcase is all digital, so it's all screens. Some of them are, you know, I think they had physical artworks there, but it was mostly screens. And I remember on that day there was like this fucking Judoku dude who spread paint all over the mat and was like doing a bunch of rolls and shit. Maybe you, huh, well, whatever. And then like he was in full gi, and this is by, you know, looking at Facebook photos, and he put his gi on this fucking coat thingy, and it was like, look, art. Fuck it, I dig it. I dig it. So this happened around, I want to say at the end, somewhere at the end of 2014. And it was called the Untucked Launch Party at V. Roman's bookstore. Yeah. And it was hosted by, if I can flip my fucking art resume here, by Eliza Bigelow. She's the editor in chief. So how did I fucking get to that sort of position or event? Well, if we can go back an episode, I told you that I saw this ad saying that, you know, we're looking for artists to put in our magazine, and if you're interested, then hit us up. I sent them an email and they told me, you know, we're gonna do this thing. Send us some art pieces via email, and we'll include those in the pages of the magazine. And I'm all like, sweet. For what I remember, I sent that around 2011. 2012 went by, 2013 came by, went by. Why did it take until 2014? Well, she sent an email, and you know, I was all like, at that time, I was kind of like, you know, slowly losing my interest. But she kept on updating me on some, like, you know, we're getting this done, we're getting that done. And fuck, man, when you're starting to create your own magazine, a lot goes in. A lot goes in, and it paid off, and it paid off at the end. Now, this would be my second exhibition, or my first group exhibition was a Monrovia thing. This is probably the first exhibition where I was physically there with my paintings. And that whole deal was a fucking learning experience. A cringeworthy fucking experience. So, as years went by, I got a notification saying that, okay, we want to invite you to the launch party of the magazine. We want you there. If you can't make it, then it's okay, blah, blah, blah. We'll send you a copy of the magazine, which I have two copies of the magazine somewhere in a safe place. And I remember I had two. Fuck. I had two charcoal drawings. Well, one of them was a charcoal drawing, and it was kind of like a sp one of the pieces was kind of like a spider weaving a galaxy. And I still have that piece in a safe place. And I think I have the name. The name was called The Universe of the Black Spider. And it was displayed, I want to say, page 18 of the debut magazine. And then it had a painting on it as well. It was called The Bosom of She. That one was weird because I painted it all red, and then I wanted to do something with the white paint. So I just basically poured white paint on, and it made sort of like a feminine sort of what's the word am I looking for? Physique, angle, whatever. It looked feminine. I'm like, oh shit. And I looked at the bust of what appeared to be a woman with all that fucking splotch of white paint. And I just like add a little bit on there. And in Japanese, with the help of a friend that who's a half who's half Japanese that I met at acting stage acting techniques class in Pasadena, he helped me translate it. And I think it goes, you can slap me in the face as hard as you can. At that time, you know, when you're young, you do stupid things. It was kind of like a stupid thing. Like, all hail the mighty bosom of every woman. I think that's what it said. I had it written down somewhere, but I'm too lazy to find out the actual translation. I don't know what I was thinking, but you know, it's on the magazine. You can probably look at it. Someone probably has that debut magazine, or if you had that, or if you have the Untucked debut magazine, I think it's on page 31 or 77. And then I had another one called Suicide, which is basically two silhouettes overlooking a universe that's dying. And that basically, titled Suicide, that basically everyone loved that. Everyone loved that painting. I show it to everybody, and they're like, dude, that's a really good fucking painting. I worked hard on that fucking painting. Took me like a couple of weeks to create that shit. Did that in 2013, man. So I presented that. I presented Suicide and Opening Ceremony, which is another large piece, which was supposed to be, it was a, it was, it's a space picture with a bunch of aliens in the background and a giant spaceship near the orbit of the Earth. And in the middle was a giant face was a, of Freddie Mercury. And on his forehead is imagery of him rocking out, but he's getting nervous. That it's kind of like in reference to you think you got it all figured out in your head, and once you go on stage, you know, sometimes certain things don't go as planned. That's the whole thing about that painting. And originally, it was supposed to be my face, but I got the nose wrong, and the lips wrong, and the eyes wrong. It was all wrong. Oh, man. But it was a good painting. It was for a school project. And you know what they say, you never display your school work. So well, you know, I've broken that rule one too many times, so fuck it. If it's good, display that shit. If it's cringeworthy, put it away. shove it in your garage or basement or whatever, and don't look at it. Burn it. Keep it to your records, take a photograph, then burn it. So the night of the show, the only person was with me and helping me taking pictures was my cousin, and to this day I am so thankful that he went, because otherwise it would have been more awkward. I go in and everyone, you know, is talking amongst themselves. There were friends and other artists, and it was a packed house. It was upstairs of the V. Romans bookstore. I met with Bigelow, and she is a nice person, and her sister, both wonderful people. I am under contract by presenting myself, talking amongst other people, and to show them my paintings. Remember when I said how it was my first time showing my face there at an actual event like that? I didn't prepare for that. Sure, I had an idea how it would all go down, but not like that. I went into my little bubble. But thank God my cousin was there to talk with me and to you know, get me going. To tell me, hey man, fucking get out there and discuss people about your paintings and stuff. Because the paintings that I had shown were Suicide and Opening Ceremony. Two big paintings. I only talked to her father and some other dude. Her father was a professor at some university, and I was talking about the short explanation of the painting Suicide, how I made it, what was behind the painting and whatnot, and same thing with Opening Ceremony. But that was it. A couple of other artists too, but that was it. I just spent the entire time quiet, looking around, looking at the magazines that were, you know, available to the public. And that was it. Yeah. Not a good time. But I set myself up for that. I didn't open myself even more, you know. I had a bad case of social interaction, which, you know, if you're applying to a workplace and, you know, if they have some sort of body camera and they saw that, they'd be like, we're going to go with the next guy. So we had everyone seated. They had everyone seated, and they were announcing, you know, some artist winners and basically saying poetry, telling stories or whatever. And I thought that I was going to go on the mic and I sat like in front of this fucking panel. And I thought I was gonna, and there was numerous times where she was all like, you know, this new artist, this and that. And I'm like, that's me. No, it wasn't me. Like, damn it. And I wasn't even prepared to talk. And I probably, she would have sent a message saying that I would probably go on mic and you would have to discuss what your art is all about and whatnot. And my dumbass was like, I'm gonna be on there and I'm not prepared, but I can't wait to get on there. Nah, didn't happen. Nah. So after that was done, all the artists took a picture. And then the producers, or the people that helped out with the magazine, took a picture. It was funny. I didn't know what the fuck was going on after all the artists and I took a picture, and then everyone's going on. I'm like, what was going on? I was still seated. And then she's all like, go, get out. We're gonna take a picture. Get out. And I'm like, oh, what? That was embarrassing. And then they took a picture, and then everyone was back to small chat, looking at the art pieces. And I was with two other artists who was overlooking what was going on. This blonde dude with glasses with a powerful mustache. And I guess this Asian chick, they were both talking, and I was in the conversation for a bit until they were talking about something else. And then I just hid myself into this fucking corner. Wow, their discussion did it lasted for like fucking minutes. And I was just there. I was snubbed out. And my cousin saw everything, and he had his, and I think at one point, fucking, he shook his head, probably had his fucking hands covering his eyes, like, dude. It was my first event, man. Come on. Of that certain magnitude. Throw me a bone, bro. So I knew if this keep on going, then it's not gonna turn out well. And being socially awkward as I was back then, a little bit now, still now. But I'm more conversive with other people, so I've learned over the years, and it took the courage to talk to people and whatnot. At that time, 2014, Anthony was like, get into my little bubble, my safe haven. Like to make fun of myself sometimes. And I knew I had to get out. I knew I had to get out. So I went to meet with Bigelow and told her how much I appreciate her having me, inviting me, and she thanked me for sticking with her and the magazine for as long as they were, trying to work it out and whatnot. And I asked her if she would be a reference, and she gladly said yes. And this is the part where I learned that people actually take an interest in buying art. But was I ready for the whole pricing, the whole. No, I was not. I just put it up there. Did not have a clue that someone was going to buy it. One of my pieces. There was like, I guess, like a small group of people. I want to say four or five that were near the paintings, and they were talking amongst themselves and whatnot. And as soon as I was, trying to take my paintings down off like this fucking wall, one of them took interest. And I guess like the other few were like, talking to me about how this art piece was created and what was behind the piece and whatnot. And then one dude wanted to buy it. And I was like, oh shit, but I was not prepared for it. What did I say? I said, I'm not ready to, I don't know, I'm not ready to part from this. And this dude was like, want this dude wanted to buy this fucking painting. He wanted to get it off my hands, but I didn't let him. I was kind of like, no, man, no. Instead, I told him, if you want to purchase the painting, shoot me an email. I'm at, this is when I was still Wolfman Ray, that whole pin name. So I told him, look at my art Facebook page, and if you still hold any interest, shoot me a message and we'll come up with something and whatnot. And he's like, okay, for sure, man, for sure. and shook his hand, and that was it. And I knew I made a bad decision because he had his fucking wallet full of monies and a fucking credit card. I did not have the Square tab, so the credit card was fucking out. But that would have been one painting on somebody's wall. I fucked up there. But at the same time, it was a learning curve, it was a learning experience. So the next time, I'd be like, okay, pricing. People would expect to buy shit from me, even though I'm a local artist, unknown. All right. But that was later. It was fun. It was awkward by my fault. And it was surprising, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot from that night, and it encouraged me. It encouraged me to this day, get into other exhibitions, which, having one next week. Next week, oh my gosh! Next week on Friday and Saturday. I thought I was gonna pick maybe one day. I was gonna go on the Saturday of the Chocolate and Art Show that's going to be happening in the Vortex at Los Angeles, California. Buy your tickets at eventbrite.com, eventbrite.com. Put in the search engine Chocolate and Art Show, and it should say the Vortex, June 22nd to the 23rd. Get your tickets now. $15. $15 and 20, I guess, at the front of the door. This was gonna be my second time in Los Angeles. It's gonna be fucking awesome. The funny thing after that night, or during that night as I was leaving, there was these guys that were, talking and whatnot. And they saw me and my cousin, holding these paintings on our way out. And they took interest in, I guess, one of them, they added me on their, well, they basically followed my art page and whatnot, and he offered me coffee beans. And I humbly accept it. But as we were talking, I forgot about it. And then I told him good night and whatnot. And then I was like near the truck and I overheard in the background, he didn't take the coffee beans. To this day, man, fuck. If you're listening, dude, if you're the guy that offered me coffee beans on that night, I am so sorry. We were talking and it just escaped my mind. Yeah, it was fucking years ago, but I still fucking remember it. And I'm sorry. I think I told my, I think, I don't know if I have to talk to my cousin about this. Either I sent him to get those coffee beans and to tell him that I was sorry and whatnot, or I heard that and I got so fucking nervous and so like I don't know like fucking like oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, that my body went automatic and did not turn back and went straight to the truck and left. I don't know which happened. I think I got the coffee beans. My cousin got the coffee beans. I'm banking on that. I'm banking on that. Jeez. That was funny. That was fucking fun. And I think Untucked Magazine has an Instagram, or their website is still on. Check it out. Check it out. And you'll know that I'm not bullshitting if you go to the debut sites and it's and it'll say maybe Anthony Ray Jimenez, or it might say Wolfman Ray with an REY, not RA. So check that out. And I can't wait for next week's art exhibition. If you're listening to this like around July or whatever, then I'm probably prepping for my Orange County art show. Hopefully I get in. And also, I probably had a fun or awkward time at the Chocolate and Art Show if you're listening to it weeks from now, or months from now, or years from now, or maybe centuries from now. One thing though, if you're planning, I have two pieces that are going to be on that show. One is called Shine. It's the one with the angel slug or squid or whatever. It's with the pigments yellow and black and blue, and it looks like, and it has like all these strings or whatever, these tentacles and things reaching down, and there's like lights coming from above that shine. And the other one, I put like an Instagram post saying that which piece do you want to see? One is an untitled piece where it shows a dude in space wear with a helmet and whatnot, with stars in the background. And another one where it shows like an old dude sort of like blowing his head off, and in Hangul it says, "Have you studied history? Question mark, exclamation mark." So that so have you studied history? From what I've saw in my Instagram feed, that people want to see that in the show. So that's going to be there. How it's going to work is this. I'm going to have the price tags on those two pieces. They told me that I can sell it, but as long as you have something to replace it around that same size. I do not have the exact size canvas of Shine, which is a 24 by 24. I don't have a 24 by 24, and I don't think that I would have enough time to paint something to replace that. So it's going to be on display Friday and Saturday. If you want to buy the piece, which is 200 bucks, but it's a reasonable 200 bucks. If you can work with me, we can shrink it down to 100, but I won't go down further. You're probably going to get it at the end of the show after 1 a.m. on Saturday, not Friday. I'm going to keep that on Friday. I'm going to keep that piece on their wall on Friday. However, have you studied history? That can be sold at any time, because I have another size painting, which is going to be the untitled one with the dude with the helmet and stuff and the stars in the background, to replace if you guys bought Have You Studied History. And again, you can pick it up at 1 a.m. after the show, but you got to tell me, first come, first serve, and I'll hold it for you. So, what's what, babies? What's up? What's what? Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you for your support. I am at Instagram, Anthony's Art _ Works. Facebook, Anthony's Art Works. Anthony's Art works.squarespace.com, WMR Animations on YouTube. You can find me at those sites. I'm Anthony Ray. This is Tad Out of Focus. See you. signing off.